The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time encouraging the people of Corinth, and he wrote two lengthy letters which appear in the Bible. The first book of Corinthians, chapter 13, is a very well-known passage. What if I could speak all the languages of humans and of angels? If I did not love others, I would be nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What if I could prophesy and understand all secrets and all knowledge? And what if I had faith that moved mountains? I would be nothing unless I loved others. What if I gave away all that I owned and let myself be burned alive? I would gain nothing unless I loved others. Love is kind and patient, never jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do. Love rejoices in the truth and not in evil. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. Love never fails. Everyone who prophesies will stop, and unknown languages will no longer be spoken. All that we know will be forgotten. We don't want to know everything, and our prophecies are not complete. But what is perfect will someday appear, and what isn't perfect will then disappear. When we were children, we thought and reasoned as children do, but when we grew up, we quit our childish ways. Now, all we can see of God is like a cloudy picture in a mirror. Later, we will see him face to face. We don't know everything. But then we will. Just as Christ completely understands us. But for now, there are faith, hope, and love. But of these three, the greatest is love.
Thank you, Graham. Do turn to your neighbour and share something that stood out to you from the reading. I'm just going to pray for Victoria before she shares with us her thoughts on the reading today. God, we thank you so much for our friend Victoria, who's spent time thinking on your word and wanting to share that with us this morning. I pray that you speak through her and that our hearts are open to hear your word. Pray that you guide her thoughts and words. In Jesus' name, amen.
No? Oh, here I am. Ngā mihi ki te atua, ngā mihi ki te ihu karaiti, ngā mihi ki te wairua tapu, ngā mihi ki a koutou, ko Victoria Brown tōku ingoa. And I am really excited to be preaching for the first time at the 10 a.m. service with my family. Yeah. It is very nice. It's very nice to see all your loving faces. And we're talking about love today, so that's great. We're doing well. I'm really excited to speak about this passage in particular because in our house we're a big fan of a man called Dallas Willard, and he has a series that I listened to earlier this year called about living in the kingdom, and he says there's two main passages that you need to memorize and sit with and learn about in order to learn how to live in the kingdom well. And the first one is Colossians chapter 3 verses 1-17, which we did earlier in the year for a whole term, and the other one is this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So it's got some really good stuff in it. 1 Corinthians is a book that Paul has written to the church in Corinth, and he is explaining to them how to do the life of discipleship. So it's like just a whole big list of every single part of life and how to do that in a godly way. He goes through topics like wisdom and food and gifts and sexual purity, and he talks about all of these things in life. And then we come to this part, which Paul says is the most important, and that is love. And that if you don't have love, then all of this stuff that you've learned to do well is just completely meaningless, because love is the most important thing. And that every single aspect of life is something that needs to be underpinned by love. That you can't learn to do these things unless you have learned how to love, or unless you've got love in there holding it all together. It's also... The thing I love about love is that it's a thing that lasts. So in verse 8, when he talks about how the prophecies will cease and the tongues will stop and the knowledge will be finished, but love will still remain, because love is something that lasts after your physical death. It's one of those treasures in heaven that Jesus talked about. So... Sorry, looking at my notes here. So what I want to talk about today is, I think today in our world at the moment, we have a lot of ways of thinking about love that I think are not especially helpful for us in our interactions with God. I think a lot of the times we think about love and we see love in a really kind of, I want to say, in a shallow way. And I think what this passage talks about is about how love is meant to be really deep. So that is going to be our topic today. Uh-oh, it's going right to the end, that's okay. Love is meant to be deep. So, and also... This is why we're spending a whole term thinking about why love came down, because it's so important for our lives, and we really want to wrestle with it and think about it and let it sink really deeply into us. So there's a guy called A.W. Tozer, and he says that what you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And that if we were able to distill from someone what they thought about when they thought about God, we could predict with certainty the spiritual outcome of that person, their spiritual future. That's end quote now into my thoughts. So basically, we act out of what we believe in, right? The things that we think, consciously or subconsciously, we act out of those beliefs that we have. So you're sitting in your chair right now. Most of you look very comfortable because you believe that the chair is going to hold you up, right? If you didn't believe the chair was going to hold you up, you'd be sort of sitting on, perched on the end, or maybe you'd be standing at the back, you know, not wanting to sit on the chair. We also chuck our hands straight into the peg basket when we hang out the washing because we believe there's no spiders in there. if you believed there were spiders in your peg basket, you'd be shaking it all out to spread all the pegs out and pull them out. So I hope I haven't scared you to hang out your washing now. But this is the kind of thing that we are talking about, is that we act out of our beliefs. And if you don't believe that God loves you, then that is how you are going to act in life. And that is where all of your interactions with people and all of your interactions with, or lack of interactions with, God are going to come from. I think it's really important to think about how our beliefs have been shaped by our experiences. So a lot of our beliefs of love, I think, are based on what we have experienced of love before. And it can be really unhelpful when we have those thoughts about love because we end up putting them on God. And I think that God is not someone who withholds love from us to punish us. And he is not someone who is highly critical of us. And he is not someone who is selfish and only cares about themselves. And he is not someone who never listens to us. He is not the person who has manipulated us. He is not the person who has put us down and spoken unkindly to us. We have to push past these experiences that we've had with other people because they can block us from experiencing what God's love is actually like. And here we go. Here is what God's love is like. It is patient. It is kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable, easily angered, resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. That's my personal favourite one at the moment, is that love never ends. Caleb, you were saying before about Jesus coming down and being humble and meek. That is another one that we can add to this list. So the love that is described here is true and real and deep. And when we receive his love, that is transformative to our lives because we believe that he loves us and we have a lived experience of him loving us. Not a lived experience of those other things that we have felt from other people, but a lived experience of the true, real love that God has for us. Love can be a reality that we live in and draw strength from. And I love the image of the waterfall because when I was thinking about all this stuff, when I think about love, I really think about it as a real nourishing and strengthening thing in my life. God's love sort of props me up a lot of the time. and I love the waterfall because I feel like that's similar. For me at least, images mean different things for different people, which is a beautiful thing about how God works. But for me, that's about that nourishment and that filling up. So, because we love shapes in this church, I'm going to draw us a triangle, and because it's Caleb's birthday, happy birthday, Caleb. And it loves shapes as well. Oh, right, okay. This is a Victoria triangle, so. So love is meant to be received deeply. All of these things that we talked about, God's love being patient and kind and bearing all things and forgiving all things. Dissimilar to the love that we get from the world, in the worldly sense, which is shallow and doesn't care in the same way. My next point in my triangle is that love is meant to be given deeply. And I feel really squirmy when I read this list because I go, love is patient. Ooh. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. And I read all these things and I go, sort of shrink inside a bit, because I immediately can call to mind moments where I have not been doing these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping I'm not the only one in the room who feels like that. If you do hit all these criteria, then I'd love to come and talk to you. But it's okay, because that's the whole point of this discipleship journey, is that I'm not fully transformed yet, and that's cool. I'm working on it. But yeah, these things, I'm certainly not patient all the time, and I'm certainly rude at times, and I certainly delight in evil when it happens to someone who has done something wrong to me. I hope you're laughing, because that's the same for you too. And when I think about those moments, the love isn't there and the love isn't deep. And I think that love is meant to be given deeply, because it comes from deep within us, and there's an element of it that's self-sacrificial, that's about dying to yourself. Because it comes from deep within you, and you just naturally want to give the love. And the immediate example that I think of is parents with their newborn children. I just realised that I've skipped a little moment, so I'm just going to pop back to say that to love someone means to will their good. Mm-hmm. To love someone means to will their good. You want what is best for them. So back to our parents with the newborn baby. The baby cries. It's what, 2 or 3 days old? The baby cries, and what do the parents do? Yeah, get up to the baby. What if it's 3 o'clock in the morning? They get up to the baby. Because they love the baby, and they want the baby's good. And they are willing to sacrifice their sleep for the good of their child. I also think it's important to note here about love being given deeply, that this list that we've just read through about being patient and kind and not holding on to things and not being rude, that's not a list of stuff to achieve. It's not a list of things to look through and go, okay, today I'm going to work really hard on being patient. That is an aspect of it, because there's an aspect of training. But this stuff is actually a natural overflow. It will just naturally happen when you have received deeply God's love. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you can just work on and pull out. It's something that has to come from a place of being deeply transformed in your heart by God's love. You know that God loves you, and then of course you're going to help the person who's in front of you. It's a natural overflow of your lived experience. And I think as we're transformed, we notice more and more moments where that does happen to come out. I was talking to someone yesterday about this stuff, and he talked about the tipping point. He said, what's the tipping point to when you are transformed, you know? And I said, well, I think it's a journey, but I do think there are moments where you are in a situation and then you suddenly realise that you've reacted a lot differently than what you would have a couple of years ago or a couple of months ago, because of the transformation that you've had of God in your heart. And I think too, since we're in Advent, this is what Jesus did for us. He, the king of the universe, came down as a little tiny baby who couldn't control its poos or wees and couldn't feed itself, couldn't look after itself, because he wills our good, because he wants what's best for us, because he has received deep love from his Father, that it naturally overflows out to us. My last point of the triangle. Love is designed to be deep, and therefore, you cannot read a book about love and be an expert on it. You cannot do a 2-week devotional series on love and I'm getting there. Or I was going to say, thank you. My first heckler in this service is the vicar. You cannot do a 2-week devotional series. You cannot listen to a sermon about love and be suddenly transformed. Because it's not designed like that. You can't get the depth of love just from interacting with it for a little bit. I'm reading a book at the moment that talks about how to make a pickle. And bear with me, you'll see in a moment. He says that in order to make a pickle, you get a cucumber and you get the vinegar briny solution. And if you dip the cucumber in the vinegar and pull it out, is it now a pickle?
No.
You have to put the cucumber in the vinegar. I'm screwing on the lid. And you have to leave it in the vinegar for at least 6 weeks. That's what he says in the book. I've not actually made pickles before. But you leave it in there and you have to let the vinegar seep through and permeate right into the inner being of the cucumber so that it is transformed. You can't dip the cucumber in the brine and pull it out and it's transformed. You have to let it soak in the vinegar. And it's the same with love. You cannot dip into love and dip out of it and be transformed. You have to sit in it and soak in it and allow it to transform your heart, your inner being. In my limited experience, I realise there's a lot more people in this room who have many better ideas than me, but that's okay. I've thought of 3 ways that I've found to be really helpful to let this love dwell and sink deeply into me. And the first one is to memorise a piece of scripture like this one. And there is a great sermon and soul lab, is that right, on memorising scripture that you can find on our YouTube channel if you want some help with that. But when you memorise a scripture, all of those things that we talked about a while ago, about the things we think about when we think about God that aren't true, when we put scripture into our mind and we memorise it, it pushes all of those things out. And it fills our mind with the truth and goodness of God's love. So memorising a piece of scripture like this. Another one that I have found helpful is a practice called Lectio Divina, which Lectio means reading and Divina means divine, so divine reading. And you get a piece of scripture like this one. And you read it over really, really slowly. And you might write little notes on the side or on another piece of paper about what jumps out at you. And you go through really slowly, and then you sort of pause at the end, and then you go through again and read through again and see what jumps out the next time. And then again, and you do it a few times. You can have a focus for each reading if you want to, and for one like this it might be like a focus of God, how will you show me as I read this, speak to me about who I need to show love to in my life, or would you reveal to me what I think about love that's not true, or something like that. And Lectio Divina is good because it's more of like a study of the scripture, and a memorizing is more of like a speaking truth. They both achieve similar things, but they're both really good at replacing the old narratives with correct ones. And the third one that I have personally found the most impactful is just sitting in silence with God and allowing him to speak truth into my life, and allowing him to reveal what it is that's not correct in the way that I think and what I believe. And actually, most of the time when I go into silence, it's only messages of love and things like the picture of the waterfall and things like a picture of a well nourishing. And that's, for me, that's how he's been replacing those narratives. And just another short plug that the prayer stations are going to be a fantastic place to do that. So if you have not signed up, I absolutely encourage you to sign up for those. We also have the Waiting on Wednesday service, which will be a really great place for silent reflection as well. So we're just going to take a little moment now in the quiet, and I want you to have a think about which of these three has jumped out at you the most this morning. So which has jumped out the most, why, and what God might be inviting you to do about that. So which of these three has jumped out the most? What do I feel like God is saying to me about that? And what might he be inviting me to do about that? So Holy Spirit, would you come now and would you speak to us about what it is we need to hear? Jesus, we thank you that you want to speak to us, and we thank you for your great love, and we thank you for this season where we can think about the love that you, or how you came down to us in love, that we could access you. Amen.